How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Oh, how sweet it is to see shots falling.
The Sacramento Kings did more than just make shots tonight. They were back on the home floor, taking on a Utah Jazz team that's been on the struggle bus quite a bit, but they did have Lauri Markkanen tonight. How would the Kings show up on the home floor? They got off to kind of a slow start with the shooting, but then they explode. Season highs in points. What? Assists.
What?
Threes.
What?
Bench points.
What?
And a season low in turnovers.
What?
Sacramento, back-to-back game, scoring 140-plus points. They win against the Utah Jazz, 141-97. 25 games in, they are 12-13, off until Thursday when they take on the Pelicans in the Big Easy, and hopefully they can finally exercise the demon against a Pelicans team who beat them 6 times last year. What a night it was. It was Kevin Huerter with a season high.
So happy for him.
26 points off the bench, 6 of 9 from downtown. And the Kings got up by as many as 46 points. That meant we got Dougie McBuckets.
He gives it up to Lynn. Lynn, low post, brings it back out to the elbow. Now to Crawford, eludes the defender, gets in the paint, throws a bullet to Ellis. Touch pass to the corner, McDermott again. Yes! Doug McDermott has knocked down 5 triples in an amazing flourish here in this fourth quarter. It's 135-93. D. McBuckets, man, what a show. This has happened in 6 minutes of playing time. 5 shots, all from downtown, all 5 successful for 15 points.
Okay, so that was cool. He had 5, right? That's all he did.
Yeah, great. Hand off to McDermott, comes back to Lynn, drive and kick, open in the corner, McLaughlin for 3, bounces high, no good. Kept alive by McDermott, Alex Lynn has it, feeds it out, McDermott for 3, 6 for 6 in the fourth quarter. Doug McDermott has this place jumping. 138-93.
We heard Dougie chants. He had 18 points, 6 of 7 from downtown at 8 minutes and 22 seconds, according to Stathead, the second player in NBA history to score 18-plus points in less than 9 minutes of action. Kings roll tonight on the home floor, and now they get a couple of days off. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing?
That was so much fun. That was so much fun from the start. I mean, you know, there was a time in the beginning of the game, I think mostly in the first half, where they really weren't just like pulling away. And I still wasn't too worried. But at the same time, because we haven't seen this team string together a few wins, I didn't know how to feel. Like I said, wasn't too worried, maybe because the way that they're playing. They only had 16 points in the paint at the half. Mm-hmm. And they finished with, what, 44, I believe it ended up being. Yep. And my point to that being is that I'm talking about that number. They turned it on. And then Deuce just played some highlights of 3 after 3 after 3 being made. They turned it on even more from beyond the arc. Guys making their shots. It was just, I'm feeling good.
And after the game, Mike Brown was asked about the Kings offense clicking. against the Utah Jazz. Here's what Mike Brown had to say after the game.
Just need to be methodical by stacking or playing the right way, possession after 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 possession.
Check the computer.
After possession after possession. You guys got what I'm saying? Right.
He said that 27 times. 27 times in the post-game press conference.
Mike.
Satisfied with his team's execution after possession after possession after possession.
Yeah. And I think if you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
If we were to analyze this post-game presser and what he was trying to say in that moment kind of stemmed to what he said in the pregame a little bit about when asked about living or dying by the three and him just acting like him talking about how this team does so much more than that. And obviously you look at their numbers and being top 10 in offense with one of the lowest 3-point shooting percentages. I mean, there's so many things that go into this that he's like, look, we do other things. And his point that he's trying to make here is doing other things great all game long, possession after possession. And we haven't been able to talk about too many games this season where that's the case. Where how many times have we talked about runs being a theme? And then we talk about how not only are there runs, but them not being able to close out a game where they were playing well,
yeah.
You know? And so many of those themes go into a lot of that.
Usually what you hear is the Kings missed a three.
Stacking or playing the right way.
I tried to cue that up right, and I did not.
You want to try it again?
Yeah, you know, okay. Morgan, we're used to the Kings just missing threes.
After possession, after possession, after possession, after possession.
Yeah.
See what you did there.
Good stuff. Honestly, when Mike Brown did that tonight, I'm watching it, and I'm going, I'm staring at it, because there's got to be a glitch.
Yeah.
Why do you think he had to do it that many times?
Oh.
I think 10 times would have been like, we got the point. Hey, Mike, we got it. Yeah, you strung it together. He kept going. I'm like, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. I'm like waiting for like there's a technical issue or maybe he's having is this a medical emergency we're seeing?
No medical emergency. I mean, it is exactly what we're saying it is when it comes to the way that he has seen his team play and how many times he's talked about it in post games. This team needing to play good basketball for 48 minutes. This team needing to do this, coming out strong in the second, whatever. And this team is capable of doing that. And it's not just against a bad team that they're capable of doing that. They're capable of having one of those good losses, if you want to call it that, where they just played good basketball all throughout. Wasn't that the Memphis game that they, in every single category, they played super well? I think it was
it was a San Antonio game.
Was it San Antonio?
The one they lost by two.
Okay, so it was the San Antonio game where they beat San Antonio in every single category, but it wasn't possession after possession. They weren't playing well on both ends of the floor. They were allowing San Antonio to obviously knock down a lot of threes. And that's what a lot of that has to do with, Deuce, not just making your shots, but also making sure that other teams aren't making theirs.
I think most people understand that. I don't know. Mike definitely was asked pregame about the 3-point shooting. It was a big topic. And I get why it's a topic, because the Kings are not making threes at the rate that you think they need to be a really good team in this league. And, you know, he had made the point pregame, like, look at Orlando, look at Houston, two teams that don't make threes at a high volume. They don't shoot a good percentage, yet they're finding other ways to win because they're doing the other things. And I think he feels like maybe there's a narrative forming that, oh, the Kings, they need to shoot more threes and they got to make, it's like, no, you know what the Kings need to do is make some threes.
Yeah.
I think my criticism has been like the shooters that you count on this year have not made threes on a consistent basis. And that's why I'm a little excited the last couple of games when I see Kevin Huerter, who after he went 0-for-6 from 3 against Memphis, shows up, hits 4-4 against San Antonio. Mm. Tonight, 6-9 from three. And when Kevin knocks down threes, it does seem like he does the other things well too, right? And that's what was happening tonight. I'm excited because I thought, besides the three-pointers dropping in this game, the Kings hitting 22, they did do the other things. And I think tonight, when you see that Markkanen headed into the game was questionable, then upgraded probably, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, shit, he's playing. What's that going to look like? Keegan Murray did a hell of a job on Lauri Markkanen. He blocked him twice. I thought the team defense on Markkanen was great. The Kings were rotating well, and locked I have in. Seen the Kings get torched by... I'm looking at this lineup in the pregame. I'm like, look, I could see Sexton hurting him. Keontae George did hurt them tonight. He mm-hmm. got going. You could see John Collins getting it going. He did a little bit, right? He had 5-8 from downtown. But Markkanen had 8 points on 2 of 9 shooting 0-for-4 from three. And I don't feel like he got a clean look tonight. Maybe he got one. And that, to me, was an indication that, okay, the Kings are more locked in tonight, even though the offense wasn't great knocking down shots in that first quarter.
Yeah, and that's they didn't allow their not-so-hot offense to dictate what they were still going to do. I mean, still causing a lot of turnovers, you know, for... Now, the Jazz were sloppy as well. Yeah, but
they turned the ball over a lot.
Yeah, right. But, like, I'm also going to be like, great. The Kings were a part of that, though, of being locked in, right? And then capitalizing on some of these mistakes. I really loved what we saw when it came to all those little things that you're talking about. You mentioned Keegan Murray and that defense on Lauri Markkanen, but then you had sent me something about Keon in those first 8 minutes that he had played, he was playing and he took a charge, got a steal, made a three.
Hit a second chance. He got a second chance opportunity, scored.
Thing after thing, right? Just one thing after another. And that should be your mindset every single time that you step on the floor. Like, what else can I do to be great right now on this floor for my team? And then you just saw it down the line from everybody.
Just an awesome outing for the Kings. They score 140 against San Antonio and then 141 in this game tonight. We'll go over some of the crazy numbers with all the season highs. The Kings, I feel like, have been playing better basketball the last 5 games. Last 5 games, they are 3-2 with wins over Houston, San Antonio, and now Utah. You know, and even in the first San Antonio game, it's a game you feel like they probably should have won if they executed better, and you lose by 2. And again, you don't get credit for shoulda, couldas, right? And the Memphis game, another game where you're like, God, man, just you guys
couldn't get it done.
Execution, okay? Yep. You lost those games. But I feel like they are, over the last 5 games, playing more of the style that they want to play, at least offensively too. And look, what changed in the last 5 games? What's changed?
Malik Monk's in the starting lineup and shots are being made.
Yeah, but I start with Malik Monk.
Cool,
because Malik Monk in the starting lineup has been fantastic. 5 games in, and this Kings offense is averaging in those 5 games 127 points per game.
Yeah,
that's number one in the league. In the last 5 games, okay? Since he's been in the lineup, they're the number one scoring team in the league. They're number one in offensive rating. They're 7th in three-point percentage at 41%. They're 2nd in field goal percentage at 53%. They're 3rd in assists per game during that stretch at 31.2. And they have the 2nd fewest turnovers in the league during that stretch at 10.4 per game. Where's their defensive rating, though? It's 12th. So,
damn.
Look, it's not just Malik Monk, but I feel like I even underestimated what Malik Monk could do in this starting lineup with this group because of his ability to create.
Or how many people need the ball in their hands, too.
Yeah, but within he's such that lineup? A player. No, it's not even that. I just want to make sure he can thrive in that and he doesn't get lost. But I think the thing that they did is going, hey, this is an opportunity for us to put the ball in Monk's hand and let him decide things. Let him initiate things and flow. And that two-man game with him and Sabonis, he gets Sabonis on the pocket pass. He can get a shot out of it, or he gets the ball moving to somewhere else. They get in the paint. They get spray threes. The ball is just moving so much better with him in the starting lineup. DeRozan is getting better looks now. Why? Because he doesn't have to get the ball and create. They're running stuff for him. It allows Fox to do things too. It just has made everybody's life easier. And there's no denying that his impact has been felt in a major way offensively.
It was just like 5 games ago on pregame show when Malik Monk was going into that starting lineup, and I was asked, well, where are they going to get the scoring from the bench? And I basically said, these are NBA players. Do your job. Like, yeah. Your role in the NBA on a lot of these teams are going to be coming off the bench or being in this bench role. Do your job. Do all the little things. And I feel like my point to that being is, I feel like more guys have shifted their mentality of what they really need to do when they get on the floor within those minutes.
Absolutely. But I always think that's overblown. The scoring off the bench with Monk's in the starting lineup. Sure. I'm like, what? Well, you're getting scoring from him in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Guess what? His scoring in the starting lineup is up. Since he's been in the starting lineup, Malik Monk Morgan has thrived in a big way. Let's see here. I'm going to look up last 5 games for him. He's averaging 16 a game all the season, but last 5 games in the starting lineup, Malik Monk, 19.4 points a game,
mm-hmm.
6.4 assists, 4 rebounds, 47% shooting, and a tick under 43% from three on 8.4 attempts per game. Oh, and he's shooting 92% at the free throw line. So it's worked well. And I think sometimes people talk about this stuff in a weird way when they go, what about your bench production? I mean, Mike Brown doesn't just go, all right, hey, bench come in now. It's like you stagger things, right? You try to maximize players and put them in roles to succeed with different types of lineups.
And that's why Mike Brown has talked about it so many times, like utilizing what he has in figuring out what works best with his rotation. And he's had his screw ups as well while searching for answers, while also dealing with guys with health and not being able to build that chemistry or what's going to work. And like you said, since Monk has been in the starting lineup and just the feel that we're getting with this team, the style that we're seeing, feels like it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, and it obviously helps when you knock down shots. But the other thing, too, is Sacramento's not running as many DHOs as they used to. You know, you think about 2 years ago when Sabonis was in his first year in Sacramento, they had the best offensive rating in the league. It was like Sabonis was, they're running shit through Sabonis every time down the floor, right?
Yeah.
And guys were getting space on dribble handoffs. But when you watch Sacramento now, when they get in the DHOs, a lot of times the guy who's in that action is not getting the ball, which is fine, but it's also challenging because these defenders are top locking. They are staying attached to the shooters. And so Sacramento now is running a little bit more pick and roll, which is good, which is good. And I feel like that has also led to the Kings getting better looks from three during this stretch. I don't know. When I see Kevin Huerter come off DHOs now, like his first year, he was coming off so much more clean because defenders were maybe not able to defend it the right way.
Sure.
Right? Now guys are staying attached to him and Keegan. And so when they do get these looks, they're not always clean. I feel
they're
like
fading.
They're fading to the right, yep, or whatever. And you're just like, is that really a good shot? I'm going to go back and watch this game to see. But in that game against San Antonio, when they made 16 threes,
yeah,
9 of them were catch and shoot threes. And Huerter tonight, I think, had 1 3 off a DHO. The rest is it's catch and shoot.
Well, if it is one, then I remember one where it was off a DHO, but what the DHO was Sabonis leading him so far with the pass.
And yeah, that's true.
You see Draymond do that a lot with Steph. Like, yeah, they just have it together. And Steph, by the way, is one of the great shooters of all time. And can shoot a shot with his eyes closed, falling, you know, 7 feet to the left. So, like, that, my point is what the passer does such a great job of is just leading them with the pass where they're going to go. And I saw that in that DHO. That's what kind of happened with Sabonis and Huerter, and he made it.
Now, we should note the last couple of games, you know, Utah's not a good defensive team. They're 27th in defensive rating tonight. Got to acknowledge that for sure. Mm-hmm. They do have length that has bothered Sacramento in the past. And I think it bugged them early in this game when Sabonis couldn't get it going against Walker Kessler. But the game before, you take on the Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. So things look different. But I would also say that the Kings just in general offensively have looked a lot better through more stretches against Memphis, against Houston, 100%. And then that first matchup against San Antonio when they scored 125 and they, you know, made 8 threes in a game. So can they continue this? That's going to be the question, right? Is are they able to show some consistency from three? I mean, you're not going to hit 22 every. They were 22 of 44 tonight. It's 50%. I think they were like 40 something percent last game against San Antonio. But we've talked about this. Just don't be in the 20s. You should not be in the 20s for a while. Yeah. Like, can we hang in the 30s? Let's hang in the 30s.
Yeah.
35%.
It's a fair ask. One.
Thank you.
But two, it's so true when you look at this stretch of games.
Yep.
And I think I'm feeling a lot more confident if they had figured out a way to beat Memphis. You know what I mean? I'm just in mode here.
If they beat Memphis, that would be what, four in a row?
Yeah.
Houston, Memphis. Yeah. Yeah. We would feel so much better right now. That Memphis one sits with you. The San Antonio one was annoying too because you played well enough in that game.
I know. And that's why I think when we sit here today after seeing the back-to-back wins that we just saw that we haven't seen in such a long time, that we're like, okay, it's too quick to be like, this is the real deal. This is them turning the corner.
Right.
Just like let them prove it to you. Let them prove it to you, especially in these couple of days of rest that they, I say rest, but you know what they're going to be doing. And you know what they're going to be doing. I asked Domas after the game about Kevin Huerter and, you know, how great was it to see him shooting? He's just like, yeah, all those hours, like after hours that he's working on a shot and doing things, you know, those guys, like even if they have a day off, like that is the same kind of shit that they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta, and that's what sucks in some ways. You're like, God, you're kind of rolling right now. You wish you kind of had a game on, you know, Tuesday instead. Now you gotta wait till Thursday. You gotta go all the way to New Orleans for one game and then come back home. But whatever, at least you get some time off. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm not here like, hey guys, see, you should have just waited for until 20 plus games in. No, I think there was reason to be concerned with the poor shooting for an extended period of time. And now, you know, I think for me, I wanted to see Huerter. I mean, everyone did. What am I saying? For me.
just for
you needed to see Huerter like do it two games.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find a game this year where he had back to back like really good games from three. Mm-hmm. He's had games where maybe he did other things on the floor, but tonight it was him knocking down threes. I thought he had some big time rebounds too. He ends up with 5 rebounds, 4 assists in this game, had a block as well, 26 points. I was happy for him.
I'm so...
And 2 dunks!
Thank you. 2 dunks in transition. One wide open, the other one...
How about the pass Fox threw? It was like almost a full court pass from Fox to Huerter for the jam.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was impressive. There are so many impressive moments like that, but... Yeah. You talk about doing all the other things, even for Kevin Huerter on a night that he is making his threes, that he is making his outside shots. And what I love to see too, because then if you go to like Keegan Murray's stat line and you see 7 points, it doesn't bother you at all. And this is why, because this was his job tonight. This was his job.
Look, tonight, the box score doesn't tell the story with him.
I agree.
And there's some nights you're like, oh, what happened? So Keegan in this game, after he had a 17-point game against the Spurs, he plays 25 minutes tonight, had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal, and 3 of 5 shooting. He was 1 of 3 from downtown, and he earned the defensive player of the game crown from the coaching staff. And, yeah, for good reason, because he was spectacular on Markkanen. And, look, he's been good defensively all year, but I thought he contested well.
Game changer.
If he had to come over and help.
Game changer.
And they kicked out to his man in the corner, he was getting there to contest. He played more physical.
Yes.
I love seeing that.
And he played physical on both ends. Like, even when he did go in to the paint, he would body someone up and give them a little nudge.
By the way, I'm glad you said somebody, okay? You mean the 7-footer Walker Kessler, who's a good shot blocker?
Correct.
And the guy went right into his chest to create his shot. Mike Brown said before the game, he told Keegan, he goes, I want you to go get 2 offensive fouls per game. And I'm like, wait, what? Because he's like, I want you to go that hard to the basket. And he's like, Keegan is strong, and he's starting to realize how strong he really is. And I think you've noticed that recently with Keegan's drives to the basket. Now he needs to build on this. But I think defensively tonight, he was a monster out there. I loved his game. And to me, that's what set the tone. That's when you're getting stops, when you're getting deflections, you're getting steals, you're blocking shots, there's energy in the building at home. You're getting out in transition, and that's where the Kings are good at, right? Getting into their early offense. That's what set the tone. That's what allowed Sacramento to kind of get through a funky start where they're like, oh, they're kind of struggling to make shots. They're 30% right now. They started 1 of 8 from three in this game.
Yeah.
These are 1 of 8.
Yeah.
They end up 22 of 44 in the night.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was impressive. And guys like Keegan doing their job specifically on one end of the floor. And just why on a night like this, you can look at that stat line and go, oh, yeah, it works. I mean, one, the team scored a season high 141 points because other guys were stepping up and also doing their jobs. And this is something like we've talked about so many times with someone like Keegan and all the work that he has to put in defensively. And you see De'Aaron capable of putting in that work and also being just a menace on the offensive end as well. But there's also this thing with Keegan where he's still developing into being a really good player on both ends of the floor and trying to make sure he can have that energy on both ends of the floor. And I just love when we see games like this, when everyone was able to contribute.
Let's get to some comments from the people watching us live. If you've not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. All it does is help our channel grow so basketball sickos around the world see our content. We got some NBA content coming up too. We'll be sprinkling in here on this YouTube channel. In the YouTube comments, Tyler says, school picture-ass smile from Keegan. Yeah, it looked like a school picture for sure. Ghost Trainer says, Keegan's a two-way monster in the making.
Uh-huh.
Well, if they can get him some help at the wing and show some offensive consistency, for sure, mm-hmm. he has that ability. Making. But defensively, it's awesome. Christian says, Keegan bullied Lowry and Kessler tonight for his buckets. That was nice to see.
Yeah.
Con Aso says, 7 points ain't going to work. Against good teams. I'm sorry. Well, again, you don't have to apologize. Yeah, I mean, every game's kind of different, right? Mm-hmm. He played 25 minutes tonight. Two, other guys are going. He picked up 3 fouls, too, in the first half. That limited his minutes in the first half. But he didn't need to score 27 points tonight because Fox had 21. Monk had 16 and 26 minutes. Sabonis had 19, 12, and 6 and 28 minutes. DeRozan had 18 and 29 minutes. So, yeah, I mean,
it's not
going to be your night offensively every night in his specific role.
But also, if you look at the shot attempts, it's not like he was jacking up a whole bunch of shots and just missing all of them. It was like, no. Other guys were getting theirs and getting shots, and it's a team sport. So when you have others contribute, you're good.
Yeah.
Good.
Also, we've got some super chats to get to. Shout out to Issa becoming a member. Appreciate you. Oleg donating $5. Great to see Deuce and Mo and everyone happy after a great win. Yes. Mitch donating $2. But what do we do before possession, says Mitch.
That's funny. Not after possession.
I got it. Sebastian, thank you so much for becoming a member. And Jacob donating $5 saying, everyone's finally clicking. The air feels fresh again.
Aww.
LOL. Yeah, it does for now. And you got to enjoy these moments, you know? Doesn't mean everything turned around and everything's perfect. Nope. But I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather have wins than losses. Crazy.
You know
breakdown.
What? Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Back-to-back wins for the first time since early November when they won against Miami and Toronto in back-to-back games. That's how long ago it was. And one of those was a buzzer beater by Sabonis for the win in Miami.
Yeah. No, we always talk about, oh, the NBA's tough. It's tough to win every single night. But when you see a team put something together and you're like, you know, there's something there. There's something there. Like, I'm watching the other night because, again, I'm a sicko. And I've told people this. I've watched way too much Washington Wizards this season. Like, every time I, like, turn on a game, I swear it's them, League Pass. I don't know why. And I'm watching them get their, third win of the season against the Denver Nuggets. And even for them, I was just like, wow, they need to celebrate. They need to feel good for this one night because it is so difficult to win, especially when you are a shitty team.
Yeah, Corey says, let's keep this 140 train going. Morgan's watching way too many Wizards games. It's almost like, you're a wizard, Morgan.
Good. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter reference. Morgan has not seen Harry, or it claims she hasn't seen Harry Potter, or doesn't like Harry.
Like I did like a long time ago.
Harry Potter is overrated, says Morgan Reagan.
I didn't say it was over. I know a lot of people like Harry Potter. I think that's great.
We talked about some Kevin Huerter, who had 26 points off the bench for Sacramento in this game, his second consecutive good game after the game. Kyle Draper and Morgan Reagan talked to Red Velvets.
Got this win, and let's bring in one of the stars, Kevin Huerter tonight. Red Velvet.
I feel like you can't hear this well. Can we? Is it not up all the way?
Oh.
Okay. That's annoying. Okay, I'm going to do something. I'm going to attempt to do something live.
Ooh.
That's risky in some ways, but you know what? I don't want to play low audio. This is what you call, if the stream messes up, this is completely my fault. I will accept responsibility at this hour, but this is what I'm doing for the people.
I don't think you should do it if you think it's going to screw anything up.
You know, sometimes you gotta gamble. You don't feel like gambling tonight?
No, I really don't. Like, I
feel like gambling tonight. I'm feeling like having fun. The stream is still working. Trust Morgan. Trust me. Trust the process. It's a powerful computer.
That's what you say when things are about to go wrong.
No. This is completely worth it. Morgan is going to lose her mind because I am attempting to edit this while doing a stream Adobe Premiere.
You're causing so much for this PC to like the engine is just like
no.
working hard.
Here's Kevin Huerter after the game with Kyle Draper and Morgan Reagan.
Got this win, and let's bring in one of the stars, Kevin Huerter tonight, Red Velvet. It's your boy Drapes, Morgan Reagan here. Congrats, man, 26 for you. Just tell me, as a team, what have you guys found, you think, in the last couple of games?
Yeah, I mean, we're moving the ball again. I think the ball is doing great. It's moving side to side, and we're hitting our shots. It's a simple math equation. We're going to start going in.
Yeah, Kevin, I mean, you've been identified as a shooter all throughout your career. You can see the ups and downs, and you've dealt with some adversity in these last two games. It seems like you're really figuring out what's been the biggest difference for you.
Hopefully, just trying to lock in, you know, trust in the work. Again, just trying to lean on what I've been my whole career. You're trying to be more than a shooter, but I got to be able to make shots first to do everything else. So teammates continue to look for me and find me, and I got to keep shooting.
Hey, no doubt about it, man. Tonight you are 6-9. Oh, this place is lit, man. This is crazy out here. I don't even know. Who's lighting it right now, Kevin? Who's lighting that beat?
Big Buck. Big Buck.
Dougie Big Buck.
Dougie's on
the beat. What's it like for you, man, to see him get hot there in that fourth also?
No, it's great. It's great. It's a lot of fun, honestly, to have him on this team. You know, me growing up watching him at Creighton and what he's done over the course of his career, it's great to have him around.
And it feels like now you guys are going to have a couple days off before your next game. So many games have been just jam-packed together this season. What are you guys going to do in these next couple of days?
We'll see. Well, hopefully we got some days off. We'll be in the gym.
Mike ain't giving you no time off. Kev.
I was going to say, we got one in the next week. We'll probably have one off day. We'll be in the gym. I think we got to keep building on this, obviously. We got to keep getting better as a team. Keep this going. Yeah, we still got some ground to make up.
All right, my guy.
So there's Red Velvet, Kevin Huerter with Draper and Morgan after the game. And Morgan, guess what? My editing on the fly on Adobe worked.
A little nerve-wracking. But
what do you think?
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean, someone even said, trust him. What could go wrong?
Yeah, trust Deuce.
With laughing emojis. Because
no, people trust me, Morgan.
Okay. Well,
Hector in the chat had a question, and I think it's a fair one.
What?
Was Morgan wearing a bathrobe on set today? That's a great question. What were you wearing?
You know what's funny? It was a jumper, but it was really big, so it was wearing me. And if anyone took Taekwondo, like when they were younger, you probably didn't.
I'm glad you.
Did you go to a class?
Have you heard of Kovar's Karate?
No.
And Carmichael?
No.
I would say it's a well-known karate establishment. In Sacramento. I got like a 2-week pass and then like for free, you know?
Yeah.
And I no one signed me up after. I got my white belt. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And guess what? Never got to go back.
I
broke a piece of wood.
Oh, I never broke a piece of wood.
It's such a weird gimmick.
And I only got to the white belt too, which is only the first belt.
Yeah, yeah.
The starter.
That's the one they give it to you. Like here, you can have it for being here.
That was kind of like the vibe I was going for tonight. I was going to fight, win, No, actually, just a jumper that was a little too big. I'm sorry. My fashion sense was a little off.
Morgan was also concerned after the game that she offended Kevin Herter on in the interview.
Oh, I said that to Deuce. I was like, I don't know if you guys heard the part when I was just like, you know, you've been identified as a shooter. And it felt bad because he was like, you know, I can do other things. And he has, especially when his shooting wasn't going well. And there's been times this season, too, where you've seen his defense actually pick up a little bit more, where he's not that liability. And so, anyway, it's just one of those things that, like, I think about, like, yeah, you don't want to ever just tell a player what they're identified as or what they
can. I don't think that was your intention. Okay. Here,
no, it wasn't my intention, but I didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
You guys also talked to Domantas Sabonis after the game. I edited this one just while we were talking. Talk about multitasking in Adobe.
Reason why? Let's bring in my guy, Domantas Sabonis. Domas, what's up, man? You're on with Drapes and Morgan here. Dude, let's look at the numbers. 140 points on Friday, 141 tonight. What the hell is clicking with this offense right now, man?
We're just making shots. We're making shots, you know, and life becomes a lot more simple.
And 39 assists and just 7 turnovers. I mean, we're talking about the standards are being set high for you guys. You're taking care of the basketball. The discipline is there. I mean, what's been working with that and just really focusing on taking care of the ball?
I feel like just really going out there and playing for each other, you know, setting up the next man, you know, just to get an easier look, you know. And I feel like Coach has mentioned that a lot lately, and it's kind of sticking with us.
Hey, Domas, tell me, I guess, your view of the first 25 games. Man, it's been up and down. You know, it's been a roller coaster. What's it been like behind the scenes with the team, and how have you guys tried to stay together through this?
It's a great group. You know, we're the same group since that first year, and the pieces we've added are just great guys. So we love being together. We love hanging out. So, you know, inside locker room, we know we've had some injuries. You know, things have been in and out, different players, different style of play. But, you know, it's a long season, especially in the West. You win a couple and you might go up 4 or 5 spots or vice versa. So we're just sticking together and climbing the mountain together.
And you say shots are falling. I mean, Kevin Herter tonight and the other night really knocking down a lot of those threes. What do you think about his shooting as of late?
I'm proud of him. He's coming out. He's sticking with it. You know, he's coming late at night, getting shots up. You know, it's all the unseen hours, you know, and it's showing. You know, I'm proud of him.
All right, my guy, go have some a glass of wine, just maybe one glass tonight. Go enjoy that. Enjoy yourself. Got a couple of days off. We'll see you Thursday in New Orleans, man.
We'll see you guys. Thank you.
Oh, I love that.
There's Domas Sabonis talking after the game.
Can I just say, I get the ick hearing myself every single time after a game. Because I say, I mean, in every single question. I gotta stop it.
Okay, relax. There's a lot of things people do on a broadcast. You can nitpick yourself, but it's not that big of a deal.
It's giving me the ick.
I didn't notice it. How about that?
You didn't?
No.
Wow, and you notice all the bad things I do.
Yeah, trust me, I do. But I notice all the bad things I do, and I'm part of myself too.
That's true.
More super chats. Keegan Murray Watch donates $5 saying, after possession, 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 after possession. Joe donates $2 saying, I was right about Doug. Don't ever doubt me again, Deuce. Okay, I'm so glad this was brought up. So Doug McDermott tonight, shout out to Dougie McBuckets. Yeah. He played those 8 minutes and 22 seconds, 18 points, 6 of 7 from 3. Crazy. We talked about that a bit ago. So in our Discord, Joe was furious about the game. What game was that? Was that in Memphis? I think it was the game in Memphis.
Okay.
When the Kings had a chance, you know, to tie it or whatever, right?
Yes, yes. That
and
final possession.
He was furious and said that he thinks that Doug McDermott should have been in the game. And he's sending voice memo.
How do you leave your best shooter out there? Blah, blah, blah.
But how is he the best shooter if he hadn't made a shot this season?
So, okay, yeah, but track record and,
oh, Mike Brown sucks, blah, blah, blah. I'm Joe. I know everything about basketball.
Okay, got
it. Put Doug McDermott in the game.
And my point was like, look, man, you can't put a player who hasn't played the entire game in the game for the final possession and expect something magical to happen. That just seems kind of crazy. And in that game, they put Herter in.
Yeah.
Just whatever. They took Keegan out. Didn't get that. So anyway, tonight, he thinks he's been proven right because he went in cold and knocked down 6 of 7. Because coming into a 35-point game in the fourth quarter against like the third string is a little different than a high-pressure situation. The final like 14 seconds left in a game where you're trying to win. So anyway, Joe thinks he did something special tonight. But the real winner is Juice and Mo because he donated $2 to get that point across.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was super happy for Dougie McBuckets. And mostly because this entire season was so frustrating when he would get his moments and it was like a wide open shot that he wasn't making. I understand like all the DHO opportunities we've been talking about, trying to shoot a three when you're fading. Go back and watch a lot of his 3-point highlights though. Like that guy is literally a sharp shooter. So then all of a sudden he puts on a Kings jersey and wasn't making shit. It was just so frustrating. So it's so nice to see a game like this where it's like, yes, not expecting this every single night from him.
Obviously.
But like, this is the kind of shit I love seeing from Doug McDermott.
Well, and I think it goes to a large point we've talked about before, which is like, you got to let some of these guys get a little more run to get some sort of rhythm so they feel confident and develop the bench a little bit. I was really happy to see him get hot like that, even if he was, 3 of 7 in this game. But, for someone who's been a 41% 3-point shooter in his career and he was shooting 32% coming into this game, well, that percentage is going to go way up now. But you just, when shooters are not making shots and then they come in and knock down some, you're like, can this do something for their confidence? Can they get on a little bit of a heater? You knew Herter was hot tonight when he had one that like rattled in and dropped.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, he's got it going.
Yep. He was feeling good. Yep. Feeling good. The way it was coming off his fingertips. Just beautiful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
And tea?
Yeah, I'm drinking hot tea for my throat, sorry.
Oh, so sad. Yeah, I'm just super happy.
So, yeah, it was a good, strong win for Sacramento. Listen to season highs tonight, Morgan.
Okay.
Season high, 141 points. A season high, 22 of 44 from three. A season high, 39 assists. And a season low, 7 turnovers. It's a pretty clean game, huh?
Pretty clean.
141-97. Also, real fast, yeah. In the fourth quarter, they were 10 of 14 from three. Is that crazy?
That is.
10 of 14.
I don't even remember there being that many threes in the fourth. I just remember a lot of threes in that second half. But the turnovers, 7 turnovers. I love that. They were just so much better with the basketball, obviously.
They've been really good lately with it.
The type of defense that they were going up against, but the focus, the attention to detail on some of the pocket passes, on some of the just outlets, on just getting the ball to your point guard. I mean, some of the more simple things in transition, I was just like, even for example, there was a time when I forget who it was. Maybe it was Malik Monk that threw it up and wanted the lob to De'Aaron in transition. I know. And he grabbed it and came back down and ended up getting a three for Keon.
I think it was Keegan.
Okay. Or maybe it was Keegan. I forget who it was. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, they ended up getting a three off that play. Or maybe it was even Kevin Herter at that point. But my point being, it was like they figured out a way to clean up their screw up, right? And that is what you need to see more of, because you're going to screw up.
I missed another season high, Morgan.
Oh, please.
Season high bench points in this game. 60 points off the bench tonight.
Beautiful.
Thanks to, in large part, because of Kevin Herter and sure. Doug McDermott and those bench guys getting some run in a big way. Also, one other Monk thing that I should bring up. I mentioned his impact the last five games with all the offensive numbers. Number one points per game, right? The shooting numbers up. Number one offensive rating. The Kings, Morgan, scored a season high 43 points in the third quarter. 43 points.
Okay.
That surpassed their season high of 42. That's the fourth time in the five games they have scored 40 points in a quarter. And all of those with Monk as a starter.
I don't know.
MVP.
MVP.
I'm happy for Malik too.
I mean
oh, he's having a career year. You could just tell he is thriving. And honestly, the way he's playing right now, that contract is beyond a bargain.
Hell yeah, it is.
Do you think a part of him's like, damn, man, could have been playing me as a starter last year. I wouldn't be making starter money. I wouldn't be playing in Sacramento.
No,
But honestly.
I love how the opportunity has come to him. I do look at it like it is a little unfair that he wasn't getting the starting opportunity, but who knows if Mike Brown had gone to it earlier at any other time instead of Keon, instead of all those other opportunities,
yeah,
where Mike Brown would feel about it today. And so to see it come in this desperate time, and truly I say desperate because Mike Brown was looking for answers. What's going to work when health is an issue / what's just going to work to make our style of basketball the way that I want to see it? Malik Monk has been a huge part of that answer in the starting lineup.
Donald James says Monk could be the number one playmaker. Dude's a wizard. Sorry, Donald. He's actually a king. Stop it, guys. No?
People were laughing.
I can't help it, man. Can't help it. Mike says, how do you feel about Malik and De'Aaron defense with both of them in the lineup? I think that's probably like the most problematic thing long term is just the Kings' size in the backcourt, right? De'Aaron's playing some awesome defense this year, and I think Malik's done a really good job defensively. Sure. I think he competes out there way better than he was in his first year in Sacramento. He's gotten better every year. I just think there's just a size component with Sacramento. You start thinking about smaller backcourts in the league. One comes to mind is Cleveland, right? With Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. The difference is they've got wings, right? They've got length, Okoro, Mobley, Jared Allen. So you can kind of get away with that. The Kings just don't have that. I mean, that's going to be a problem until they fix that, right? But I've been happy with what I've seen so far with them, and then during that stretch they're 12th in offensive rating.
Yeah, you're gonna see matchups that absolutely just are atrocious or don't work because there are so many teams in this league with the size and length that the Kings are missing. But how can they fill that void with doing other things great?
Who needs defense when you score 127 a game, huh?
Dude, we said that the first year when they ended up making the playoffs, and like obviously their defense was trash at that time. So it's nice to see that it's a little bit more even. Just keep making your shots. Just keep making your shots because it is so much more fun not only to see a high scoring game, but how much more fun is it too when you see at Golden 1 Center on the home floor, you're going down in transition, you have an open three and you actually make one, right? Like there's just been far too many times this season where that's happening, and you just hear the crowd go,
yeah, it's deflating. It's deflating.
Yes. Yes. It's deflating for all, for everyone.
We've got some more stuff to talk about. Looking at some of the Kings numbers after 25 games.
Yeah.
25 just like a good number to look at things and just where the Kings are at offensively, defensively, and the three-point shooting. We also have to bounce around the league, look ahead to the Kings' next game against the Pelicans. And the West is beyond weird this year. Mm-hmm. How many teams with 12 wins? We'll discuss that and much more. But today's podcast presented by our friends over at Turtle Beach.
There it is. Turtle Beach. So these headphones, I have them connected to my laptop. And my favorite thing about them right now is that I can't hear Deuce's stupid cough when I have these on. And I love them. Now, you go and see all the products with Turtle Beach and you'd be like, oh, it's all gaming. Yes, but you can also use it if you are not gaming. And wait, that is exactly
you're moving those around. I'm pretty sure those are the Gen 3 Stealth 700 headsets.
Yes,
Yeah. Perfect for gaming when I'm playing Warzone. And I can't wait for Verdansk. Is it Verdansk or Verdansk? I forget. I always mess it up, but it's coming back in the spring. And I'm going to have those on. Overhead.
Where's my? And I don't need to use this, but you do.
Yes, yes, yes. You can head to turtlebeach.com. Use promo code DMPOD for 10% off your order. They've got so much gaming equipment.
So much.
And for a limited time, you can head to turtlebeach.com. And that, by the way, it's Turtle Beach, not to Turtle Beach.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah, just to be clear. I don't want people to type in T-U-T-U.
Okay, good.
No, it's turtlebeach.com. Use promo code DMPOD for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code DMPOD. Don't delay. Get the perfect gift now. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Mother in Sacramento. Check out their website, mothersacramento.com. You need a good meal. Hey, where should I go out to eat this holiday season? Mother in Sacramento. 2319 K Street, Morgan. Tell the people why they should go there.
Well, one, you could just go there and have a nice meal, and it's like in the perfect area in downtown Sacramento. Or you could do what I do too. A lot of, probably too much. No, to there's never too much. I always order to go. And it's so great because you can pre-plan whether you work in downtown or midtown, or if you're just like trying to pick up something before you go home. Also, what I love, it's always such feel good food, but I never feel guilty because there's so many good ingredients, local, you have everyone there, a Sacramento Kings fan. It's just a wonderful place. Check out Mother.
Yeah, go to MotherSacramento.com. Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. This one is for you, Kings fans. There's no better place to be and bank if you're a Kings fan.
No, every time I'm at a Kings game, too, I just see all the perks that you get when you are a Golden One Credit Union member, and you just lift up that card, you get upgraded seats, or you can go to the King store, you get 15% off all the merch. There's just so many perks by just being a member.
You could scan the QR code on the screen or go to their website, goldenone.com, to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. That's how you win
as one
at Golden One.
We are one.
We are one. Also presented today by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Morgan, why should people go to Northwest?
Well, if you're wondering why your house is too cold right now, it's probably because of your windows. Yep, or maybe your house from the outside is just like a little old and needs some updates.
Old and busted.
I wasn't going to be rude, but yeah. It's probably because you just need new windows. And I'm not kidding. I was so intimidated by like, how much are these going to cost? What's going to happen? Just reach out to Northwest Exteriors and get a free quote today.
Yeah, check out their website, northwestexteriors.com. That's northwestexteriors.com because Morgan, Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Thank you.
So, Morgan, after 25 games, some interesting numbers about the Sacramento Kings that I think you people will find intriguing.
I thought you already gave me a lot of numbers.
I know.
More, you did. You teased these numbers.
I knew I was going to throw a lot of numbers tonight, and you were going to be like, there's too many numbers you're throwing out.
I wasn't going to say
that. The month numbers were super intriguing.
I love all the numbers.
The season highs were super intriguing.
When do I shit on the numbers?
And tonight, I have more numbers for you.
I'm not surprised.
25 games in, the Kings are 12-13. That's their record. Where do you think they rank in defensive rating after 25 games?
I know, because you already said it.
I did?
12th.
No, that was 12th with Malik Monk. I'm sorry, Morgan.
14th.
You are wrong.
14th.
No.
Really?
Nope, nope, nope.
13th. In between.
13th in defensive rating. Okay. But where do the Kings rank after 25 games offensively? Still going to be a tough one.
Bum, six?
Bum, 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 bum. Is that going to be your final answer?
I don't know why I'm so excited.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. That's insane.
The Kings rank sixth in offense and 13th in defensive rating. That's good for a 10th in net rating. And that's all while being 21st now in three-point percentage.
Wow.
They are up to 34%.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Wow. And you're probably going, well, how is that even possible if the Kings could be six in offensive rating when the shooting has been so piss poor from beyond the arc this year, right?
Yeah.
Cleaning the Glass is a website I subscribe to. You guys should check it out if you're obsessed with basketball. They chart all of this stuff. And I was looking today, so let's see if it's updated. At how the Kings are shooting from different areas of the floor.
Ready for this?
At the rim, Sacramento is second in the league at the rim.
Whoa.
Okay, this graph's not going to, it's too much on the screen. They are shooting 72% at the rim.
Okay.
At the rim, okay? How are they doing on mid-range shots? These are shots outside of 4 feet, but inside of about 14 feet.
Oh.
They're second in the league, 50.8%.
Okay.
On long mid-range shots, which is shots outside of about 14 feet, that's obviously from free throw distance inside the three-point arc.
Okay.
They're third in the league, 46%.
I like it.
So on all mid-range shots, they're number one in the league. So number one at the rim, number one at the mid-range. Let me say that again because I messed that up.
Okay.
Number two at the rim, number one in mid-range shots. They shoot 49% on mid-range.
Love it.
So that's why the Kings have been doing well there. Surprisingly, the Kings are 41% from the corner three, which is eighth in the NBA. Everywhere else, not good. They are 32%.
Yeah, we don't
but
that.
So that's why the Kings are still able to be this good offensively. Based on rating is because they're getting it going in other ways. Now you're just hopeful that, okay, can they start hitting threes a little more consistently?
Yes, please. And when you see them drop like this, it's not, I just don't want to get to the point where it's like, just a good shooting night. Right. I hope it just becomes more and more part of their style, you know, because we've seen them generate so many open looks and just, so many shots that so many players in this league are capable of making that it gets frustrating when these Kings players aren't making theirs. So, yes, hopefully it just keeps going in that direction.
Keegan Murray leads the Kings in percentage at the rim, 76% at the rim, 41 of 54. Okay. De'Aaron Fox, the next great volume right there, 69 of 95. He's 73% at the rim. Mid-range shots. It shouldn't surprise you. Let's see here. DeMar DeRozan takes a lot of his shots there. He's taken 244 mid-range shots this year. That's insane. 244. Is that right? That can't be right.
How could that not be?
That just seems like a lot. 51% on mid-range, nonetheless. De'Aaron Fox is shooting 49%. Domas, 55% on middies this year.
Okay. So.
Anyway, just some crazy stats to look at and that I thought were worth sharing tonight.
No, I appreciate all the numbers that you shared.
Okay.
What are you looking at now, though?
Kings had 14 deflections tonight.
Okay.
We're done with numbers.
Sure we are.
I promise.
Mm-hmm.
I promise. Mm. Okay, Morgan, next up for the Sacramento Kings, they don't have a game until Thursday. And I know what you're thinking, oh, the Kings need rest. Well, the rest of the league is really getting rest at this point because of the NBA Cup getting started. the teams who aren't in the cup get some extra time, which is great. So Sacramento doesn't play again until Thursday when they have to go to a place that I will not forget. I was there last year, April 19th, when they went to New Orleans and lost a play-in game.
Jeez.
By the way, love that city. First time there was amazing, but walking out of that building sucked when they got beat down.
And then you had the worst plane travel back.
Oh my God. Hey, Deuce, how are you getting back to Sacramento the next day? Oh, I was just going to go New Orleans, Dallas, back to Sacramento. Oh, that's funny. New Orleans. Stuck in Dallas. Dallas.
For a whole day.
Yeah, for a whole day. Then they went Dallas to Phoenix, Phoenix to Sacramento. I don't think there's a longer way to get home from New Orleans.
But after the most depressing loss of the season.
Dude, I was in my feelings so hard that next day, dude. That night being in Dallas was fun. And oh, by the way, I didn't have my luggage either. So I'm like, I had to go to the hotel desk. I'm like, dude, do you have like deodorant? I smell like shit. I look like shit. It's like, what happened to you?
Crying all night.
Lost a plane. Did you play? No. I'm just kind of a fan broadcaster type thing. Anyway, the Kings were 0-6 against the Pelicans. Now.
Yeah, what's about
the Pelicans after losing tonight? They're 5-20. They're 5-20. They've lost a couple in a row. They've been beyond banged up. They lost Ingram. He came back and then got hurt yesterday in a game. Mm-hmm. So he's out. Zion's still out. Some of these Kings killers of the past, Valanciunas, he's playing in Washington.
Yeah.
Najee Marshall, he's playing in Dallas.
Yeah.
This is not the same team.
No.
But there is something about just seeing that uniform, seeing that building, and going, ugh, can it not be a game while Trey Murphy drops 30?
Dude,
or CJ
Herb
McCollum?
Jones.
Yeah, like that you still go, I'm still a little nervous. And they have DeJounte Murray. Like if I told you their starting lineup, DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, and the rookie Misi, I believe is how it's pronounced. I could be messing it up. You're like, that's not terrible. Mm. But they've had so many injuries this
Brandon
year.
Brandon Boston Jr. coming off the bench. Yes. Yeah, like it's so frustrating to even feel a little bit of worry against this team. But it's like, oh, is CJ McCollum going to hit 33s against the Sacramento Kings?
Yep.
Like, we've seen how the Kings have defended the three this year, and we see how deflating it could be when one guy goes off, when one guy gets theirs. And if one of these guys also in Herb Jones or Trey Murphy slow down De'Aaron Fox and what he's capable of doing, like it just hurts so much, you know, like you just need everyone to step up, everyone to be locked in.
Yeah. And you just play the right way.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's a 5-win. It's a 5-20 team, but it's also like they're better than their record, if that makes sense. So they play tonight. They played against San Antonio. Victor did play in that game, and they lost 121-116. So a close game that they lost. Yeah, they're better than their. So like, don't like disrespect. You're like, dude, this is a bum ass team. It's like, yeah, they're banged up, but they have enough quality guys that you don't like. I don't know. You just never take anybody lightly this league, but you just have to go in there with a professional approach.
Well, it's the same way I felt even about the Utah Jazz before going into their game, just because of the length. And I'm like, is this length going to pose as such a challenge for the Kings? And I don't care how many games that they've won. Again, like I said, I watched the Wizards beat the Denver Nuggets with Jokic playing in that game, you know? And it's like, I just see how many teams have been able to take advantage of the Kings this year, even when they're playing good basketball, that they're just not playing good enough basketball. So, yep, you go into this one and you have to find a way to like get shit done, like rip the wings off of these Pelicans, pluck the shit out of their feathers, you know?
Like a real one?
Like, I don't care. If you have to sacrifice, like, I love animals and so much. And I would cry if, oh my God, even just thinking about roadkill.
You're just saying this to be funny. You could not handle that. Could you imagine if Mike?
Oh, you guys, I cry when I see roadkill. Like, I hate dead animals. But every pelican needs to die.
Mike Brown's like to the coaching staff and me, like, hey guys, we got to get the guys kind of fired up for this game. You got any ideas? Oh, what about this? What about this? Oh, you know, I heard on the Deuce and Mo podcast, their idea was take a pelican, a live pelican in the locker room before the game. And, well,
I didn't say live. That's so sad.
And gut it. Like, yeah. It's like really.
Rip off the wings. We're getting so gruesome.
That's so gross.
PETA's going to get you.
That's how the pelicans are frightening.
That's what.
The animal,
that's why we're,
and the team.
Oh, in the, yeah, and the team.
So stupid. Both. So stupid.
Oh my God. I always get afraid of like animal activists coming after me. I'm kidding.
Yeah, obviously we're kidding.
I know. Mo loves lions and I love lions. Every lion should live forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get back to 500. You win coming up on Thursday. You're back at 500 and you get ready to take on the Denver Nuggets, which won't be an easy game either. But more, and this is what I was going to say with the West.
Yeah.
The standings right now are pretty crazy, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. Let me zoom in for the people that are watching. Okay, it's not working. My mouse is just a mess tonight.
Trying to make it bigger.
I'm trying. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well. It looks... Anyway, standings. You got the top. You got OKC, Memphis, Houston, Dallas. Golden State won tonight. They've been a mess. Golden State, fraud alert. They're
Wait,
not
they
good.
They won tonight, though?
They did win tonight. They beat Minnesota. But this is the, kind of my point.
Yeah.
So Golden State, they're 14-9. You got the Clippers at 14-11. They've lost a couple in a row. But check this out. 7 through where the Kings are at right now at 12. The Nuggets, 12-10. Lakers, 13-11. Minnesota, 12-11. Phoenix, 12-11. Spurs, 12-12. Kings, 12-13. Not a lot of separation there. Denver bounced back tonight. They had an awful loss last night against the Wizards where Jokic had 56.
Oh, yeah.
He responded tonight with 58 points in a win over the Atlanta Hawks. A really nice win for them in the second night of a back-to-back. The Lakers played without LeBron tonight. They beat Portland. But they've been messy too. Mm-hmm. But those two teams specifically I want to talk about for a second. Denver just doesn't look right. Like, one, everything is on Jokic, and he proves how special of a player he is, how elite of a player he is.
Amazing.
The best guy in the league. But, like, the Murray stuff.
The vibes.
Bad vibes.
Yep.
A little bit of bad vibes in Denver.
Like, not together.
The Lakers are the same thing. I think part of it is they ran it back with that group, and LeBron, as talented as he is, we know at his age, I think he's, at this point of the season, is showing his first signs of, not as good. And that's, which, by the way, he's 40 years
old. And you're going to, it doesn't matter. And you're going to build around the 40-year-old, you know? And it's like, look, I didn't watch the game. So I can't sit here and say, like, oh, the opportunities other guys got without him on the floor, you know? Because that could not even be the case. But you do think about how you're going to play the game around LeBron James no matter what. And
And so they've been kind of up and down too. Minnesota, I mean, they felt like they were turning it around after the loss to Sacramento. And they lose tonight to Golden State. That's tough. Mm-hmm. Golden State was playing without Andrew Wiggins tonight. So they're sitting at 12-11. Phoenix is scuffling too with KD still out. They've lost 3 in a row. The Spurs have been up and down a little bit, especially when Wemby was out. My point being is, like, man, like, as shitty as this start has been for Sacramento at times at 12-13, you're like, okay, like, you're almost lucky in a way that you're not buried right now, that you're right there with all these other teams.
Yes. Absolutely. My but, or my counter to that, is we've seen this before in the Western Conference and how damaging it is.
Yeah.
If you are not beating the teams that you're supposed to beat, like, or figuring out a way to get the win and finish out a game. And so, like, my point is, like, I get what you're saying. I think
I can't go back in time and change those other games. They've happened. I'm focusing on what just
happened. And that's what I'm saying. And I'm focusing on what's ahead. That's what I'm saying. Sure. I'm saying a game against the Pelicans, like, although I don't have expectations right now when I look at it, when they see this in the Western Conference, they need to, like, feel desperation in games like this.
And I guess my point is, the conversations that we've been having in Sacramento are the same conversations that are happening on podcasts in Denver, in LA, where people are like, well, they didn't do anything. They're not enough. Or is JJ this? LeBron
this?
This
is the worst loss of the season.
Denver lost to a 2-win Wizards team last night.
Yeah.
Right? So Minnesota is, they're feeling it when they're losing. So I just, my point is that the Kings have to figure it out. It seems like since Monk's been in it, it does feel a little bit better. And maybe, just maybe, they can turn this shit around if they could consistently knock down threes at a higher rate. So that's all I had to say about that.
I like that. Oh, don't die. Don't die.
Hopefully my cough gets better, dude.
I really hope that happens for you.
Thank you. I also want to mention, because I failed to do it last podcast, please check out our website, deuceandmo.com, and click on merch. If you look at this, you could see all of our products.
Ooh.
With new logos and stuff. We got posters. We got a whole bunch. We got Shut Up and Light the Beam merch. And right now, for the holidays, we have a promo code, PURPLE, and it saves you 20% off.
Yeah.
PURPLE. We call it Black Friday, and then we've just let it ride a little bit.
Because it's the holidays. And well,
it's that, and you want to get your merch out there. I mean, yeah. We're not trying to, like, hey, dude, we're going to jack this up and make you pay. No.
And what I will say, too, yeah, no, because it's not about, like, obviously making money off the merch.
Like a little
bit. Can I just say, well, you get a tiny bit, but but can I just say, it is so fun seeing you guys out at games, like, supporting us and just wearing this stuff. It's really fun to see. I mean, it's all I wear. So like when you're wearing what I wear, I'm just like, oh my God, you have fashion sense.
Deuceandmo.com, click on merch, use promo code PURPLE, saves you 20% off. I'm dropping the YouTube right now. In the chat, Guz says, Mo, I asked you to sing Give Me the Beam Boys postgame. Not sure if you did it yet.
I was literally going to save it for my final thoughts. But I mean, we could just get to it now.
Sure.
We need the lyrics for the beginning part, and I need your help.
I can try.
Because it's really good when you sing too.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Three, two. Right, yeah, but you have to help.
Yeah.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Actually, take a step back a little bit and then get in it. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me. Oh, wait.
Do not. And time out. No. I'm going to say something to you right now.
What?
You're going to jump me for not being able to sing, which, by the way, I've said I can't sing. Yet you're going to sit here and butcher the lyrics.
I don't
know. You.
You've never let me practice the song. I always tell you, like,
they're right in front of you. Read the lyrics. Perform.
But that's, oh my God. Do you guys, like, this is like dance mom energy here.
Big AJ does to Big Justice, right?
Yeah, okay. You gotta say it right. Okay. Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look at the light through the pouring rain. You know, that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain.
Slow it down.
Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your pick and roll and drift away.
Yeah.
Oh, give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your light and glow and drift away. There you go.
That's drift it. Away.
That's it. I mean, it's definitely not a song that we've worked on.
We'll have music to it at some point.
It's not even about having music to it. It's about changing probably 47% more of the lyrics. So then they become your own. And it's a really hard song to sing. Like, vocally.
Get in the lab and figure it out. You guess what? You got some days off to figure your shit out. Get in the lab and let's go.
I want to just watch basketball and, like, chill for a second, too.
And sing.
Oh, and we have two Stockton Kings games to call.
Cry about it.
And cry sing. Okay, dance mom.
Well,
there you go, though.
I have failed in so many ways with the moment of the game as of late. What do you think, chat, should be the moment of tonight's game? Moment of tonight's Kings 141-97 Kings win. I'll put it in the moment jar. I have right under here.
I think it should be Kevin Huerter and Doug McDermott.
Ooh, yeah.
Because
like
we'll just remember this game for Doug McDermott forever.
Dougie with 6 of 7 from 3.
Uh-huh.
Huerter with 6 of 9. Nice.
Yep.
From 3. Also, Kevin Huerter last 2 games.
Yeah.
10 of 13 from downtown.
Ugh.
10 of 13 from downtown. Yes.
I love it.
That's a good one.
Everyone's saying Doug. Everyone say Doug hitting six threes.
Well, dude, we totally forgot. Who's simply the best player of the game tonight? I put that as a poll question. Who's a player of the game?
Oh, I thought we did it.
No, we did not.
Well, then it's Doug McDermott. Or I'm going to say Kevin Huerter. Okay. Doug.
Let's see what the chat has voted. Who's player of the game? Is it Huerter, Dougie McBuckets, Fox, or Sabonis? 67% of the people say Kevin Huerter. 26% say Dougie McBuckets, player of the game, players of the game again for the second consecutive game. We're going with Kevin Huerter and Doug McDermott, Red Velvet with 26 points on 6-9 from downtown. I mentioned a 10 of 13 the last two games. He also had 5 rebounds and 4 assists. Doug McDermott, 18 points on 6 of 7 from 3 in, 8 minutes. That's not a typo. 8 minutes of action. Are you shitting me? He is the simply the best players of the game, presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out trustnorthwest.com.
Larry says, I think D&M should sing possession after possession after possession. We can make a remix to that.
Oh, that's like, we gotta collab with some DJ.
I could easily make up a song about that. And then use that in the background of him doing possession after possession and just figuring out a beat to it.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. That's way easier than singing Give Me the Beam Boys.
Do you have some final thoughts tonight?
My final thoughts, kind of like we always say, enjoy these games, enjoy these moments. Because that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to experience, especially on a Sunday night where I didn't feel like it was the biggest crowd in the world. But what I love, again, just going back to the Washington Wizards winning their third game of the season, didn't feel any energy or anything in this crowd. Again, I understand it's hard when your team sucks. But I remember even saying to you, I was like, oh, if that was in Sacramento, Kings fans are going nuts, even with the third win, because it is exciting. And that's not where the Kings are right now. The Kings are a good team. They just need to figure out how to be a better team in the West and really string so much more good basketball together. So just keep up the energy, keep enjoying it while it's here, especially when they're playing like this.
My final thought tonight is not going to be basketball related. I wanted to mention someone that has been pretty important to me and Morgan, Justin Hathaway, who is at NBC Sports California. He's been our boss at NBC Sports California, and he is leaving to take a job in Chicago. So congratulations to
him, right? Justin Hathaway.
I didn't want to be hacking up a long while saying this. Hold on.
Okay. Then you take...
So we bring that up because without Justin, we are not doing broadcast work on Kings pre and post game live. And Justin gave us an opportunity because he believed in us and he saw what we were doing on this podcast and the community that we've all been a part of here.
Yeah.
And
he's been a part of the community as well. Yes. Which has been such a cool supportive.
You know, you look at broadcasts around the NBA pre and post game shows a lot. You're not going to see a lot of podcasters. So, podcasters get put on there. We never want to be labeled as just a podcaster. We want to be able to be versatile and all that stuff. But you have to have someone who believes in you and you have to have good people that will uplift you. And Justin, not just to us, but anyone who has worked with him or for him. He's such a great guy, such an amazing person to work for, but to hang out with away from work.
Yep.
And I am forever grateful that someone gave us an opportunity and he saw that we had potential and he believed in us. And it sucks he's leaving, but I love the guy and I'm so happy that he played such a big role in my life.
And just to add to that, because I think Deuce and I both throughout this crazy broadcast journey to be honest, some really shitty leadership and some really shitty bosses throughout time.
Let's name them. There was
No, and I know people go through that with a lot of things in their everyday jobs and lives as well. I think with this business, it's a little scary because if you get bullied at the top, or if someone doesn't want to empower you or help you, or there's egos or whatever it may be, it can be really, really hurtful to your career. And we've experienced that on so many different levels. And then to get to a higher level with NBC Sports and to get the type of encouragement, empowerment, and everything that we needed from this person, who is also just a good overall person, like you said. It's you don't get that often in life, and especially in this business, and we will never forget it. We will never, ever take that for granted, and just super thankful for people like him.
He's pushed to get us involved for years, and he's, you know, tried, and, you know, it progressed over time. And, you know, he's putting himself on the line, giving an opportunity to two people who like weren't doing.
Who were in, I mean, we've done broadcasting and everything.
We're not on pre and post game shows on for an NBA team, and you put these people on. And so, and you know, some would probably say he probably got this job because of
us.
Yeah. In a lot of ways.
Wait, like, we should give us credit.
He finds these talented people. How did he find these people? So,
is he making more money? So he should give us some money.
A cut. No. In all seriousness, it's just what Morgan said is dead on. There, you know, this business is so freaking competitive. I love everything about this business, but I love meeting people who don't have massive like egos and who truly want to help people and see the best in people and want to help them grow. And I just felt like with us and others, he's done that.
Yeah.
And so, man, it just sometimes in this business, you just need a chance. You just need a chance and you need someone to believe in you. And he believed in us and we'll miss him a lot. And he's going to kill it in Chicago.
And he's thanking us for the ratings too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Well, no. Thank you, seriously. Justin Hathaway, and good luck in Chicago.
With that said, we love you guys so, so, so much. But we gots to go. We'll talk to you live Thursday.
Oh, have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.